Today is Tuesday, April 14th. Good afternoon for WRCL News. I'm Tim Thede. Severe overnight storms swept through southern Wisconsin, leaving widespread damage and knocking out power to tens of thousands of customers across the region. Sauk County Dispatch confirmed roof damage at the Milwaukee Valve facility. There were reports of trees that had fallen on homes and were scattered throughout residential neighborhoods in Prairie du Sac. The storms caused extensive power outages through the Dane and surrounding counties areas. According to Alliant Energy's outage map, 17,335 customers in Wisconsin remained without power as of 4 o'clock this morning. Portions of Grant, Richland, and Sauk counties were under severe thunderstorm warnings during the Monday late night hours and into the overnight hours. The National Weather Service reports that severe thunderstorms are likely this afternoon across southern Wisconsin. All storms will be capable of large hail, 2 inches or greater in diameter, damaging winds, and locally heavy rainfall. The threat for a few tornadoes will exist along a narrow corridor that is still being refined. Great Lakes weather will have the latest update later in this newscast. Crawford County authorities have arrested and charged a local couple in connection with an alleged long-term child abuse case. WRCO News reports 38-year-old Casey F. Cano and 35-year-old Mary L. Cano face multiple felony charges stemming from incidents that allegedly took place between January of 2018 and April of 2022 at their home. According to prosecutors, the couple is accused of physically abusing and neglecting 6 children. The criminal complaint alleges repeated belt beatings that at times left welts and caused bleeding, along with withholding food as punishment. Both individuals are charged with 6 counts of repeated physical abuse of a child causing bodily harm, 6 counts of neglect of a child causing bodily harm, and one count of causing a child under the age of 13 to view sexual activity. Court documents also indicate the children were removed from the home in April of 2022 in connection with a separate sexual abuse case involving another child. A court date for the couple has not yet been scheduled. Public Health Sauk County is pleased to announce that it has received a grant of nearly $1,000 from the Community Foundation of South Central Wisconsin to help prevent illness and injury to people in our community who face the greatest health risks. The grant funding will be used to support 3 efforts: tick bite prevention supplies to reduce the spread of tick-borne illnesses, carbon monoxide detectors to promote safety in local households, and personal hygiene kits. These supplies will be distributed directly by Public Health Sauk County staff to established community partnership and referrals. The items will not be available through walk-in requests at the Sauk County Health Department. It's support from donors like the Community Foundation that help our efforts reach more people in Sauk County, said Jesse Phelan, Deputy Director of Public Health Sauk County. We are extremely grateful for their support in improving the health and well-being of Sauk County residents. The City of Richland Center is accepting applications to fill a vacancy on the Common Council representing Districts 1, Wards 1, 2, and 3. Applicants must be 18 years or older, a qualified elector of the city, and reside within District 1. The appointment will be made by the mayor and confirmed by the Common Council, with the selected individuals serving the remainder of the term through April of 2027. Applications are due Friday, May 1st at noon. The Common Council is expected to consider the appointment at their regular meeting on the evening of Tuesday, May 5th at 6:30. For more information or to apply, visit the City of Richland Center website or contact the City Clerk's office at 608-647-3466. Governor Evers used his veto pen recently to stop 11 GOP proposals. Those includes one to remove ineligible voters from the rolls and another to share state benefit data with the federal government. He says the bills would add red tape for voters and risk exposing private information. Republicans had pushed the measures, saying they were needed for election security and stronger oversight. Evers says they go too far and could violate the law. A statewide student mental health program is expanding with a new $600,000 grant. The funding supports a school-based initiative helping districts provide counseling and behavioral health services. The program currently serves 21 districts and about 148,000 students across the state. Officials say the funding helps reduce wait lists and expands access to mental health services. A man is arrested in connection with a scary Easter Sunday incident at a church on the campus of Marquette University. A criminal complaint says 50-year-old Aaron Ferris used an axe to damage the front doors of the Church of Gizo. The Milwaukee Police Department officers arrived to find Ferris standing on the altar holding an axe and telling the officers he was God. An officer pulled out his firearm and ordered Ferris to drop the axe. Ferris was asked if he had any other weapons and dropped two knives near the axe. After Ferris was taken into custody, police said they found a gun and a second axe inside his vehicle outside the church. He faces counts of felony criminal damage to religious property and misdemeanor disorderly conduct. The damage to the church doors was estimated at $50,000. What started as a kidnapping in Wanakee turned into a multi-county chase and eventually a suicide in Columbia County. Police say was held against her will by her former boyfriend. The 45-year-old suspect is accused of breaking into the woman's residence on Friday. She was able to escape Sunday and called police. A chase began and continued into Columbia County with the suspect driving the wrong way on the interstate. After hitting a vehicle, the suspect's vehicle became disabled. Authorities say the man ran into a marshy area. Police tried negotiating with him for a couple of hours before they say the suspect shot and killed himself. The Adams County Sheriff's Office is leading the investigation. One person is under arrest after a shooting near UW-Oshkosh. UW-Oshkosh police say the shooting happened Saturday night around 7. Officers were already nearby handling a pub crawl when they heard the incident and found a 17-year-old Oshkosh teen injured. Police arrested a 23-year-old Amaro man less than an hour after the incident. The condition of the victim and the name of the suspect have not been released. Emergency crews rescued three people following a barn roof collapse in Ozaukee County on Monday. A total of seven people were taken to area hospitals with injuries ranging from minor to serious, following what Southern Ozaukee Fire and EMS Chief David Balk describes as a challenging rescue operation involving multiple injuries. Fox 6 Milwaukee reports crews responded at mid-morning to the report of a barn roof collapse in Mequon. They found several injured people outside and confirmed that three more remained trapped beneath the collapsed debris. All three were successfully rescued. The cause of the collapse remains under investigation. If you haven't filed your taxes yet, it's time to file for an extension. The IRS allows anyone to fill out a one-time extension to file their taxes for any reason. That extension will last until October 15th to give you time to get your paperwork in order. This has to be done by April 15th and does not mean an extension to pay your taxes. Make sure to make at least some payment if you owe money and go online to irs.gov to find the free filing options. And Midwest soybean farmers are facing an array of compounding issues. Costs such as equipment have crept up over time, while soybean prices have stayed low. Tariffs levied by the Trump administration last year and the resulting months-long trade war with China in 2025 only made things worse, they say. Then the Iran war bottled up shipping through the Strait of Hormuz, sending fertilizer prices sky high. A ceasefire deal announced April 7th raised hope that bottlenecks in the strait would abate, but the future of the agreement was uncertain. Experts say it will take time for global supply chains to recover from the war. China is buying U.S. soybeans again, but farmers say a recent $12 million federal aid package isn't enough to recoup their losses during the trade war. This week is Severe Weather Awareness Week in Wisconsin. The Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection urges consumers to be prepared in the event there is property damage from a storm. Michelle Reinen is with DATCAP.
We're hopeful that during Severe Weather Awareness Week, while getting your home and your response to the weather event prepared, that you can take a few moments to go a step further and consider that aftermath. So by going a step further, include critical information like personal, financial, insurance, medical, and other records that can be grabbed quickly and put those in your emergency kit.
It is a good idea to find someone in advance that is reliable to do repairs.
Do some research up front should you be impacted negatively by the weather event, whether it be your home or your automobile. Find a list of trusted local resources that you would turn to and do that research up front and include that in your emergency kit. So that way you can be responsive to a situation rather than reactive.
Michelle Reinen says that being prepared can help avoid stress and save time.
Doing that research before it's urgent can really lower the stress level. It can get you a step ahead in reaching out to that contractor. So ask your friends and family who they would turn to for roofing, siding, windows, and auto repair, and start checking those businesses out to see if you would be comfortable working with them, and then put that contact information in your emergency kit, as well as a copy of DadCap's Emergency Home Repair Tips fact sheet, the motor vehicle repair fact sheet, and the lien waivers fact sheet, so you have those pieces of information when entering into a contract ready at your fingertips.
More resources for disaster and emergency preparedness can be found at the Wisconsin Emergency Management website at wem.wi.gov and the Wisconsin Office of the Commissioner of Insurance website at oci.wi.gov. Also, if you are a victim of a scam, you can contact DadCap's Consumer Protection Hotline by phone at 1-800-422-7128 or by email at datcphotline@wi.gov. In April, the American Red Cross asks you to keep patients top of mind by making an appointment to give blood or platelets. Regular donors of all blood types and those looking to give for the first time are encouraged to make days brighter this spring for those in need. April is National Volunteer Month, and the Red Cross celebrates the kindness of blood donors and those who volunteer their time. There is no substitute for blood. Volunteer donors are essential to patient care. Blood program leaders and blood donor ambassadors are the heartbeat of the work at blood donation centers and community blood drives. Two opportunities to give will be held in the area this week. The first is being held today from 12:30 to 5:30 at the Lone Rock Community Building. The second will be held Friday from noon to 5 at St. Anthony's Aunt Philip Parish Center in Highland. Join the celebration of saving lives by booking a time to give blood or platelets now by visiting redcrossblood.org, calling 1-800-RED-CROSS, or by using the Red Cross Blood donor app. Shake Rag Alley Center for the Arts is inviting community members to get creative at its upcoming Makers and Shakers Art Party, Gemstone and Wire Pendant, scheduled for tomorrow from 6:30 to 8:30 at the Lind Pavilion. Participants will learn how to craft their own custom necklace using gemstone beads, accent beads, findings, and a 20-gauge wire. The class includes instruction on forming a double bale and designing a personalized pendant. All tools and materials are provided, including a cord necklace, and additional kits will be available for $3 to $5. Organizers say attendees will leave the workshop wearing their own work of art, making the event ideal for beginners, hobbyists, or anyone looking to create a handmade gift. The project fee is $10, but middle and high school students can participate for free. The SSM Health St. Clair Foundation is now accepting applications for its Healthy Community Partnership Grants, which provide funding for projects, programs, and activities that advance the health and wellness of those living in the greater Baraboo, Lake Delton, and Wisconsin Dells areas. Those working on innovative ideas, collaborative projects, or programs who need seed money for implementation are encouraged to apply. Grants are awarded 2 times per year, spring and fall, with a maximum grant of $2,000 each cycle. The application deadline for the spring grant cycle is tomorrow, with all gifts awarded by June 15th. Eligible programs and activities for funding include, but are not limited to, health education, disease screening, fitness and wellness assessment, and improvement research speakers fees related specifically to health and wellness and serving the areas undeserved. The project must impact residents in SSM Health, St. Clair Hospital, Baraboo Service Area, practitioners in all fields of health, educators and school districts, employers, civic organizations, and service clubs are encouraged to apply. Collaborative proposals are always welcome. For more information regarding the Healthy Community Partnership Grant Program and to obtain a grant application, contact Julia Randles, SSM Health, St. Clair Foundation Director, at 608-356-1449 or visit stclair.com. That's stclare.com/foundation and click on the Healthy Community Partnership Grants link. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources reminds Wisconsinites they can still submit artwork for the Wild Turkey, Pheasant, and Waterfowl Stamp Design Contests. The winning designs will appear on the 2027 collection of stamps. Each year, local artists from across Wisconsin compete for the opportunity to showcase their talents, commemorate their work, and promote wildlife conservation across the state. Hunters are required to purchase a species-specific stamp to legally harvest any of these game birds in Wisconsin. The sales of these three stamps generate hundreds of thousands of dollars annually for species management throughout the state, including habitat management, restoration, education, and research projects. Stamp design entries must be received or postmarked by August 1st. Judging will take place on August 22nd at the Waterfowl Hunters Expo in Oshkosh. All stamp contest applicants should review the contest rules carefully to ensure the eligibility of their entries. Artwork must meet technical requirements to be properly processed and prepared for judging and display. Registration, rules, entry information, and reproduction rights agreements are available on the DNR's Wildlife Stamp Funding and Stamp Design Contest webpage. Stamp contest applicants are strongly encouraged to obtain insurance for their artwork if shipped and to confirm the delivery of their submission directly with the stamp contest coordinator.